This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, top of the hour, 8 o'clock, man. Fun show so far. It's the morning shift. Squid Billy, Mikey P, I guess, is what we're going to go with.
Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for,
Johnson. That's just
Johnson.
Too much. That's just too
well,
much.
Well, that's because, you know, you just can't say it like I
do. Nylon behind the glass, nerdy Day-Day with the tie on, and the glass, the rhyme dragon Day-Day behind
Should
the glass.
Should be Dapper Day-Day.
Dapper Day-Day. All I can see is the tie, man. So he looks like he's going to an interview.
The whole ensemble is great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, check him out, man. Hey, suited and booted. Anyways, look, man, 404-726-0929. It's the wake-up call. We got a lot of NFL topics still yet to get to in today's show. Let's go ahead and head out to the phone lines, though, and talk to our boy. What's happening, Chief? What's going on?
What's happening, Chief?
What's up, man?
Good morning, Tribal Chief. Mr. Sir? Mike P. Johnson. I got a quick question for you guys. I was playing trivia last week. I wanted to call you guys last week. I just wanted to see, can you guys get it? I lost because the guy guesses in three, they give him three, clues. And he guessed this before I did. I just want to – I'm going to go through it right quick so you guys get it. It's an NFL player.
All right.
First clue was he was national champion. Second clue was he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Third clue was he was Rookie of the Year. Fourth clue was he won a Super Bowl. Fifth clue was he was MVP in the NFL. Do you know who this player is?
So he was he won a Super Bowl.
It says to be Cam Newton.
He was – no, Cam Newton didn't win a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. He won a Heisman. He won a national championship. And he was an SEC player?
Yeah, let's go.
No, he was a Pac-10 player, actually.
Pac-10 player.
Reggie Bush.
No. Dang. It was Zach Marcus Allen.
Ooh. I was close.
I saw this. Somebody posted this the other day.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh my God, he beat me!" I had no idea. The first three clues the guy got. Anyway, my wake up call is for everybody with the Sergio Sanders thing in the NFL and these anonymous people who write this thing about this guy. The only thing I got to say to you guys is that I hope he turns out to be like Trae Young and just disappoints all of you guys because. Some of this stuff is ridiculous. You're questioning the man because he has a little flamboyancy like his dad and stuff. I just think some of the stuff is ridiculous, and you don't like the guy because who his dad is. You got here to stop it. Just wake up.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about this. I appreciate Chief, as always.
Yeah, thanks,
obviously,
man.
Proud member. Squinted.
Love
you know,
the trivia question, too.
You know the problem I have with it is stop asking people their opinions when they meet someone because – the same people, like, that report came out about Shador.
Yeah, from Justine Anderson.
And Justine said, well, I'm disappointed. You're disappointed in how someone perceives something. So you're I don't even know what that report was, but everybody is going to see people differently when they meet them.
Yeah.
And if I meet someone and they come off a certain way to me, That has to do with a ton of things about what I want in a player or whatever, right?
Right.
It doesn't make the person a bad person.
Right.
It doesn't make the player a bad person. But we get mad and then we label people of what, well, they don't like Deion or they don't like, I just think
they don't like him. They must be this.
And guess what? It happened before. Shedeur Sanders not the first. I thought Chief had a good point with Trey. And it's going to happen after. It happened with Baker Mayfield, as you brought it the other day.
Yeah.
But we got to stop getting upset about people's opinions.
There's 32 NFL teams. There was bound to be a team that didn't like the way that Shedeur Sanders came off. And that's fine, man. You know why? Because, again, I brought up Baker Mayfield the other day only to say that there was Josina Anderson, I remembered and actually looked at the clip after the show. She actually asked Baker Mayfield at the combine about, you know, him being labeled cocky. And he was like, I think I'm just confident. And you know what the end result was? Baker Mayfield went number one overall.
Yeah.
It really didn't matter in the end if the seventh team didn't like him. You know why? Could have gone six, could have gone eight.
Well,
doesn't really matter.
The fourth team he was on became the one that really stuck, and he's turned into a good player.
Very, very good point.
Shedeur Sanders could go to Cleveland or Tennessee or whoever drafts him and be a stud right out of the bat. He could also fail.
Yeah.
And it might not be all his fault. Like, it wasn't all Baker's fault. It could be where the team failed him as much as he failed himself, and then he had to go somewhere to find it where it was a nice mesh. You never know. But it's not an indictment.
What's funny is I remember, so I was in my second year with the Falcons when Cam Newton was like the first overall with the Panthers. And I always wondered what that locker room was like. And, you know, you have teammates that know people over there or whatever, and there's always conversation about, you know, Cam's a little bit cocky or you know, has these traits. And he ended up living up to the billing. And I thought, man, that always worked out well for him, right? His cockiness, his confidence. He had a number of good games against the Falcons. And it kind of just took a back seat. Until recently, when he talked about how there was losers in the locker room. And then you had people like, you know, Steve Smith or whoever else that was involved in that locker room that didn't like it.
You know,
and I thought, man, there's that cockiness from 2010 Cam coming back out of being like, I was the guy.
Well, he never lost it. Yeah. You know, the funniest part is in that statement, he kind of acted like there were no leaders in that locker room. I think there were leaders in that locker room. And the reason there were leaders is because they willingly accepted him because they knew he made them better. And I think that is a leadership to me sign when people can welcome you in and accept you for who you are because they know that their relationship with you will be a certain way, but you make them better.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Speaking of teams getting better or worse, DK Metcalf requested his trade yesterday.
All right.
It happened to be on the same day that the team announced their release in Tyler Lockett, which, you know, probably could have given Lockett his, you know, maybe his day in the sun.
Give him his flowers a little bit.
A Super Bowl champion player.
Yeah, sure. 10-year career there.
Diana Rossini has reported that the Seahawks are seeking a first and third round pick for DK Metcalf. I just think it should be known that DK Metcalf is seeking a new contract, one that he would expect to be paid at least $30 million a year. That's a hell of a haul for a player that you have to turn around and absolutely pay. And if that's their asking price, one, you know that they know they won't get that. And two, that's probably why they put that out there. But if I'm the rest of the league, I sit on my hands and say, no, this guy wants out. You either pay him or release him.
Dude, everybody's doing the same thing. When others, Jonathan Allen's going through this, the Commanders' defensive tackle, saying basically, if we can't find a trade partner, we're going to let him go. Cooper Kupp is going through this. You know, there's questions about whether or not Kirk Cousins is going through this. The problem that I think a lot of these guys are going to run into, and I'm DK Metcalf, a very, very good player. But you're also in a point in time where it seems like there is an endless list of veteran wide receivers that are available. Now, are any of them to the level of DK Metcalf? Maybe Davante Adams. You know, we don't know what Chris Godwin is health-wise. Marquise Brown's out there. Amari Cooper's out there. Stephon Diggs is out there. Darius Slayton's out there. I mean, I can go all the way down the list of these free agent wide receivers. Not only that, but I just mentioned Cooper Kupp is available via trade. I don't think DK Metcalf is going to find the market that he probably thinks he's going to find. I don't know that Seattle is going to find a market where anybody's willing to give him a first and a third with the 15-plus guys out there that you feel like are not to his level, but not that far off either.
DK Metcalf's had one 90-catch season. The last two seasons, he's had 66 catches each season. One was an 1,100-yard season. The other was under 1,000. Not much, though, 8 yards. 13 touchdowns combined those two seasons. Not saying that he still isn't an excellent player. I'm just asking if 66 catches a year for 1,000 yards is worth $30 million.
It's the conversation, it's the exact conversation we've had a number of times about some of the other players on this roster. But it's the Drew Dolman conversation. Drew Dolman could make up to, you know, $18 million a year in free agency. Do we think Drew Dolman's good? Yeah, I think he's great. Is Ryan Neuzel at probably $15 million a year less? Is he in the ballpark? Abso-freaking-lutely
well,
he is.
I think that's the argument that I knew that Dolman started more games than Neuzel. And I knew that Neuzel started four or five games. I did not realize he started almost half the season.
He did, yeah.
And guess what? It was a stretch where you did pretty freaking good.
I was going to say, the fact that you didn't realize that is a check in Ryan Neuzel's column. And I know we got completely off topic there, but...
But that's the part that the most underrated player on the Atlanta Falcons right now might be on the offensive line. And he might be Matthew Bergeron.
Mm.
Because...
Mm.
Matthew Bergeron came in here, solidified the guard position, went, and by the way,
ding,
he wasn't a guard
yeah.
when he came out of college, and it's made the center, and I'm not saying it's all that way, the center's done a good job, Drew Dahman's done a good job, he's turned into a good player, and I know they love him up there, and rightfully so, but he sure as hell didn't hurt Ryan Neuzel when he was playing.
Yeah.
And so, that's the thing for me. And where did we draft Matthew Bergeron?
37.
Oh, I thought all second-round picks under the Fontenot era had been bust.
Stop talking to Mark Zeno so much. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
Not just him.
And start packing. Look, we got to go to break. We have so much more NFL conversation to get to. We've already talked about Max Crosby and Joe Thuney and DK Metcalf. What about Justin Fields? What about Dak Prescott? We got a number of topics to get to. Also, a reminder, tonight is 92.9, the game night at the Atlanta Hawks. You don't have your tickets yet, and you want to see me and Bo, look, break it down in the DJ booth? Go ahead and get those tickets. Hey, stick with us. It's Mike and Bo on the morning shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the morning shift. Squid Billy, a.k.a. Bo Duke.
It's a good song.
Hanging out, Mikey P here, Dylon behind the glass. Big G Money done stepped in.
For the Professor Day-Day?
Professor Day-Day out there just, I don't know, teaching lessons.
I said that. I saw Day-Day and out there, and I was like, I'm going to start calling you the professor. And then it hit me. Remember that and-one guy?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, guess what?
What?
Guess who chimes in?
Who?
Abe. Oh, I still watch his stuff on. Well, first off,
Abe still wears and-one shoes. So there's that. Yeah.
And his short length is still the and-one length. But
hey, I guarantee you he's got a pair of and-one shorts.
I wonder if Abe has a pair of Shaqs. You remember Shaq shoes? I wonder if Abe has a pair of Shaqs. He would strike me as a guy that might have some Shaqs.
He's got some big baller brands.
Right. Hey, were you too young for pumps?
I mean, they were around, but yeah, that was not something I would have worn. First of all, I didn't have much money. We were poor, but nonetheless.
Well, I mean, the price came down a little. I remember that when they were out for a few years, I did get so
got some pumps.
Were
some Woody Harrelson's?
Did my we got one pair of nice shoes a year for school
for sure.
So like, and if school started, because school started later than it started, like after
it was
Labor Day.
Yeah,
and so. We would go like late August or whatever, and we could pick out one pair of shoes.
Yeah, we're
and
same way.
So one year I got pumps. One year I got these. One year
I don't know why it's cracking me up thinking about you and pumps just strapping up like the kid from Three Ninjas.
I would pump them too. I'm like, yeah, these are going to make me taller and jump higher.
The kid from Three Ninjas when he dunks. It's like the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
One year I got the Nike cross. I think they were cross trainer, like Air Turf or something.
Yeah.
And they were like, I mean, they look like pretty much like something Dion was wearing at the time. Because back then, you know, Dion was still playing. I just remember doing that. And then when spring came, I would need new shoes.
Yeah.
And I would get like the fake Vans from Walmart or something. Because that's all you were getting.
That's all you could get.
Because you weren't getting another pair.
I was the same way. And the frustrating part for me is I think I got into a size 15 when I was a sophomore or a sophomore or junior in high school. And at that point, like it was a wrap. You just got what you got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, I'm with you on that. I've always had to have, like, you know, tall too. So
yeah.
I've always had to either go to the outlet store or been online.
Yeah, like, we're going to hit the shoe department or Payless or something.
Exactly.
You know, hit the shoe station.
You're not going to the mall and finding your size, bro. You got another thing coming if that's what you think.
I wasn't going to Foot Locker.
No,
bro.
Absolutely like, no, not.
Finish line was not a thing.
At all.
Does he have some LA lights?
Yeah.
Remember those shoes?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Lord, I do remember. LA gear. Yeah.
Real quick, speaking of shoes, I'm actually debuting a new pair of shoes tonight at 9:30 on the game night.
Oh, you know, I think I might be too.
Really?
Yeah. Different brand than I wear too.
Okay.
Bought some new ones for this.
I'm excited.
I'll be curious. Okay, I'll go ahead and throw it out there. I got the, I think it's the Under Armour, like the Brahma Bull, the Rock.
Oh, yeah, I like those. New ones, I've seen those.
I've never worn a pair of Under Armour shoes. So I'll be curious to see how that fits me because, you know, I got some bad feet, bro. I got to stick with the same brand most of the time.
I was just going to wear, like, my Jordans or my Air Force Ones or something. I mean.
You should. Those are nice, too.
I got some J's I might wear. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I got some J's back in the closet.
Thank you for calling them J's and not AJ's, by the way.
Well, that's for you.
All right.
Yeah. Anyways, look, got to move on. I want to hit, first of all, before we get into any more of the cornerback conversation, because I do think a couple tweets I've been getting are very, very interesting in terms of how the Falcons will proceed. A couple of pieces of NFL news we have not gotten to just yet. Zach Bond, the linebacker from the Philadelphia Eagles, he gets the extension 3 years, $51 million, which makes him very highly paid, but on his own team, I think he only comes in at like number 8 in terms of highest average annual value. They kind of had to have him. Are you shocked that they actually paid a defensive player this time around?
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, I think he really helped their, as good as their front four is, and that's a rotation, he really helped set it off.
Yeah.
It's just, I think we forget that you need very good player. It helps to have very good players at all three levels. Their secondary is extremely young now with Darius Slay being let go, which means they might go corner in the draft. They did last year as well with Quinyon Mitchell. They got and Cooper DeJean. So he was a standout. I mean, he was an All-Pro on their defense last year, and I think a lot of it had to do with the front. So it's a little surprising that they paid defense, but they had to pay him because of the 1 year deal.
Yeah, and look, man, it's linebacker money for whatever it is. That's not back. 3 years, 51 is nice. That's not your back. Like I said, you're the 8th highest player on your own team. Just the highest paid defender at that point. So you got to kind of give him his money. Obviously an incredible year. Everybody's in good spirits. Saquon getting paid. Zach Bond getting paid. Everybody getting paid. Everybody feeling good. So you kind of get all those situations kind of knocked out.
Not everybody. Milton Williams, Darius Slay, and Josh Sweat ain't got paid.
Well, they will, is my point. Well, everybody's feeling good. They're all going to get some money at some point. That's what happens when you win the Super Bowl. Guys that have not won the Super Bowl that are still getting paid. Dak Prescott got restructured. I believe CeeDee Lamb did as well. Look, it frees up $56 million in cap space for the Dallas Cowboys. Are we going to look at, you know, a week from now, are we going to look at Micah Parsons and he's getting Max Crosby numbers where he's one of the highest paid players in the league at over $30 million average annual value?
No, he should get more than Max Crosby.
You think so? Really?
Yeah. All right, if you had to pick one right now.
Well, they're two different circumstances, right?
I didn't ask that. If you're picking,
but I'm explaining it to you.
If you're picking the player, who are you going with?
Probably Micah Parsons. But
you're
very
telling
close.
Me that Micah Parsons is not a better player than Max Crosby, and I love Max Crosby, but Micah Parsons is a better player.
Again, I think he's probably the better player. I don't think it's close. I also think that Micah Parsons wants to win. And understands that they need other pieces in other places. And saying that he's going to get more than Max Crosby leads me to believe that it's almost malpractice in terms of the other contracts where they have so many holes on that defense and on that team that they need to address.
How many years has Max Crosby played in the NFL?
What did we say earlier? He's on year 6? What did we say? I don't remember. We talked about it earlier.
All right. He's played 6 years.
Yeah.
He's got 59.5 sacks in 6 years.
Okay.
Micah Parsons has played 4 years. And he has 52.5 sacks.
Okay.
More than the sacks. Micah can play in coverage. You know, he can do other things. The guy, I just think he's a more complete player. Micah Parsons is. I mean, I just think he's a better overall player, and he's a younger player. I think Micah Parsons will make more money. Yeah.
I just, I'm not sure. I don't think you're wrong, but dude, $35.5 million is what Max Crosby's making. I get it, man. That's like the new thing. He's the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, for now.
And Micah Parsons is on a team that does have their eyes set on winning a Super Bowl at some point.
Well,
Max Crosby is the face of that franchise, and nobody else is even in the same stratosphere as him. You can't say that about Mike. That's my point, is there's nuance around that conversation.
Who's the best player?
It's not just about who has the most sacks and average sacks per
year. Who's the best player on the Dallas Cowboys?
Probably Micah Parsons.
Okay.
Again.
Okay.
Max Crosby doesn't have a quarterback. So which one would you rather be in their shoes? Who would you rather be?
Well, hell, I'd take either one of them.
What you're saying is there's nuance to that question.
I wouldn't mind being in either one of their shoes because they're freaking millionaires upon millionaires. What I'm just telling you is all I'm saying is that Micah Parsons is one of the top five defensive players in the league when healthy, and he should be paid like the best, and he should be paid like it, and that's what happens. You don't get paid for being, well, you're the fifth best, you'll get paid fifth best. No, you get paid the best because it's your turn to get paid, and you get paid what the market value is. And if Max Crosby is making $35.5 million, then Micah Parsons should be making at least $36 million.
You're probably right. I don't think it's going to happen. That's my point. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, they pay everybody in Dallas. Well, SCD and
Dak. I think they're trying to get away from that. I think that they've got a number of holes to fill. Obviously, they freed up a bunch of cap room. I think Micah Parsons is going to get a bunch of that. I don't know that it will exceed. I don't know he'll get to $36 million.
Well, then I would tell them bye.
And look, maybe he will. Maybe he will, and maybe they won't mind it. If he's going to get $36 million, I don't know if at that number he can look at Dak and Micah and say, well, and CeeDee Lamb and think, okay, we're going to go in a Super Bowl.
Because guess what? This is Max's second contract. Our second big contract.
Yeah, he's got his zeros and
second time he's been broke off. This is Micah's first chance to get broke off.
Yeah. All right, real quick, we got to get this conversation, and I want to make sure I get the Twitter mention right from our buddy John Jackson on Twitter. He said, "I know y'all like Walter Nolan a lot, but Will Johnson there at 15, how can we pass on him? If Will Johnson's there at 15, how can we pass on him?" I've seen a lot of Falcons fans throw around a lot of corners recently. Now, we've talked all day about free agent corners, who's on the market, named off a bunch of them. I think there's a lot of good ones. Tre'Davious Ward's going to get a lot of money. DJ Reed's going to get a lot of money. Carlton Davis, probably $15 million a year. Byron Murphy's out there. How likely is it we draft a corner in the first round, given the amount of money being thrown around in those situations? Because it doesn't seem like any of these are realistic names on the free agent market. What would be your rage level?
My rage level?
Yeah, 1 through 10. If we came in here the day after the first round and said we took a corner and
I've already told you. I'm not going to be mad cuz I'm not setting myself up.
So a 1.
I'm not setting myself up for that. I've told you guys I want trenches. Yeah. I want trenches. I want front 7.
Same.
I would take Jalen Walker and Jahi Campbell are not necessarily front 4 players, but they're front 7, and they can play up there on the line.
Yeah.
But look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I'm angry at the world if you go get if you have 2 shutdown corners and Jesse Bates and your secondary.
No, that's a good point.
I'm not, because your team's getting better and you're getting a playmaker. My rage will be if you get anything not a tackle on offense.
I'd still rage.
I'd probably be mad
too. Round. If anything on offense, I'm going to be.
I'm probably
going to
be mad
8.
Too. You know what? You're right. I will be go defense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll be full. We'll be good.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do.
If you don't go defense, then I'm going to rage.
Yeah.
Because you need playmakers all across the board on defense.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We come back. I got some college quarterback rankings put out by our friend Tom Fornelli over at CBS Sports. You may or may not agree with some of these. They're a little bit out of pocket. We also got a life of squid.
Did Mike Johnson use his own urine when he did drug tests in NFL? One former NFL player says he never did. Next, the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app. 8:41, The Morning Shift, Bo Duke, Squidbilly, and Mike Johnson hanging out with you here on this Thursday morning. Weather's looking a little bit better.
Pretty good.
Weather's looking a little bit better than it was yesterday. It was blustery out there yesterday. Looking blue skies, man. You going to get on the golf course today?
Today?
Yeah.
No, we got 99 of the game Hawks night.
Last week, you left here, went to the gym, played a round of golf, and took your wife to dinner. So I don't want to hear anything about 99 of the game night tonight at the Hawks. But I am excited to get down to State Farm tonight. I will say that.
I don't want to be that rushed.
Getting down to State Farm.
Yeah, I just don't, because I'm actually doing golf tomorrow. I just my buddy Brent just texted our we have one of our text groups is the he texted a group and a group of us and was like, hey, you want to play golf? Anybody want to play golf at 3:30 Friday? I booked it and I said, I'm in. Ooh. I'm in for now unless you know I get told that I need to do something else. But
you
I'm
don't ever invite me to play golf, man. I'm trying not to get my feelings hurt.
You know why?
Uh-oh.
You know why? Because you first off, you turn down every time I do and invite you to do anything.
That's not true.
And
that's not true.
Other than, hey, let's go to NASCAR, you turn it down.
You and I have attended a concert together.
Huh?
Been to 3 NASCAR races, a concert, and we've taken the wives to dinner.
Yeah.
And we've played golf.
We never played golf when it was just
outside
playing
of
golf.
Tournament. No, but you invited me to those tournaments, and I've said yes. Let's go play golf.
Because I don't want to play at 9:30 in the morning most of the time, right after the show, and that's when you want to play. I like to play that mid afternoon round, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Is that going to continue to be an option for you moving forward? Do you think when the kid gets here?
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know what y'all's daycare situation is going to be like.
That sounds like where y'all will end up coming together at some point when Lil Pork Chop is here. Then maybe Bo will start getting with you on those early morning golf sessions.
I think that's the way it's going to have to happen. I will say real quick, 99 the game night tonight down at State Farm Arena. Make sure you get your tickets now. Come hang out with us. Bo and I will be in the DJ booth at some point. Dylan's throwing T-shirts. There's going to be a swag serve with some of the members of the 92.9 the game family. Am I allowed to wear my City Edition jersey that the Hawks hooked us up with, the light blue?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be?
Right?
Yeah,
I know that I need to rep.
You got to rock that thing.
You want to be that guy, yeah.
I know I need to rep 92.9, but like I got they hooked up the Hawks jersey with Johnson on the back. You know what I mean?
I got a mean Hawks hoodie I'm ready to wear.
I don't want anybody to confuse me for Garrison Matthews or anything when I'm out there, but, you know.
That won't be who they mistake you for.
What do you think, V. Krejci? No? No?
Nah,
Escalade.
You're definitely a little bit closer to a Garrison Matthews.
I take either one.
He's a flat top away from being Greg Ostertag.
I take either one at this point. He don't even know who that is. He's laughing. Yeah. All right, let's get into this.
You don't know who Greg Ostertag is?
He's like, nah,
I don't.
Nah, exactly. He's
You know, sometimes he's got to laugh it off. You know,
he's got to laugh it off. The youth, man. Speaking of not knowing names, I want to get into some of these. Tom Fornelli put out his quarterback rankings on CBS Sports. College football quarterback rankings yesterday. A lot of questions being thrown around on the socials about these. So let me just start from the top. A guy that has started a handful of games, but not probably enough to be ranked number one, Arch Manning from Texas. Go down to number two, Cade Klubnik from Clemson. Cade Klubnik finished the year strong last year. But the version of Cade Klubnik I saw against the Georgia Bulldogs to start the year, not good enough to be the number two quarterback. Carson Beck is at number three. A lot of questions about that one. Drew Aller from Penn State sitting there at four. Get all the way down. Let's go to SEC guys. Garrett Nussmeier's at six. Lenore Sellers at seven. And all the way down at number 10, your Florida Gators quarterback, DJ Lagway. You had a little bit of an issue with the fact that DJ was behind guys like Sawyer Robertson and Rocco Becht and Sam Levitt.
I have a problem with the fact that he's behind Garrett Nussmeier and, honestly, Manning.
Well, and that's
I don't think Arch Manning should be one up here.
He shouldn't be one.
This is garbage. Oh, I'm sorry. If you have a certain name, you just get put wherever you want.
Now, I will say this. If there's anybody that hasn't lived off their name, it's probably Arch Manning. He hasn't taken any NIL deals that he probably could have taken. I know that his family made a very conscious effort not to do that until he was a starting quarterback. However, now he's a starting quarterback, and he's at the University of Texas.
So he's the best quarterback in college football based on what?
It's not like he didn't play last year at all. Like, this is not like
– he didn't play a lot, and he wasn't better –
who started more games, him or DJ Lagway? I guess it would have been Lagway, right?
Lagway.
Yeah. Man, I still would have loved to see that Florida game against Georgia if he doesn't get carted off with
Rocco Beck has done more than Arch Manning.
All these guys.
Drew Aller, Cade Klubnik,
well, Norris
Carson
Sellers
Beck,
is a dog yeah, in South Carolina.
He's probably. Man, I don't. I mean, look, I think Sam Levitt is a really good player, and I think Drew Aller has a chance, but I'm not as sold on him. I just think Arch Manning is put here because he's Arch Manning.
I don't think any other
player with three starts under his belt in college football, I think he only has like three starts, would be put number one over Carson Beck, Cade Klubnik, Drew Aller, whatever you think of Carson Beck, Sam Levitt, Lenoris Sellers, Rocco Beck. I mean, and DJ Lagway completely transformed the Gators season last year. I just think it's ridiculous that he's put at one and he's done the least of everybody on this list. He's done the least.
Let me ask you this and come at this from a different perspective. I know we got to get to Life Squid in just a second. Is this the least amount of star power that you can remember being on a top 10 list of quarterbacks in college football? Because for me, I'm looking at it, and obviously seeing Garrett Nussmeier play, Lenoris Sellers, the guys that, you know, Rocco Beck, all these guys that were in the playoffs, yeah, I saw him play a couple games. But, like, we're not talking about anything close to the way we were probably 5 years ago in terms of the Joe Burrows and the Tuas and the Jake Fromms and the other kind of just absolute star power of names that used to sit out there in college football. We don't necessarily have those guys. And all apologies to Carson Beck, and I know there's still a lot of Carson Beck fans out there. I'm not sure he even belongs at three with at Miami right now.
You know, I don't know what Miami's going to be, so it's hard. I just think that yeah. I think that Carson Beck is expected to have a bounce back season in a lesser conference.
That's a good point. And I think competition won't be near as rough.
No, he's not going to play near as tough of a schedule either. I mean, he's got to play Florida again. But I don't, still don't know what Florida is. Florida got better last year. The season went on, but that's just how it is.
Yeah, he also doesn't want the smoke from Georgia Tech anymore, probably. Given the Miami's recent history with Tech, as well as struggles he has had, I think Drew Aller for me probably should be moved up the list. I love what he's been at Penn State the last couple of years. I know there's limitations. I also will say this: I think Quinn Ewers missed a big opportunity to not come back to college football. You can't tell me that you would have looked. No matter where Quinn Ewers would have landed, had it been Oregon or had it been Ohio State or whatever it would have been. Can't tell me, and I know he used to go to Ohio State. Can't tell me he wouldn't have been top three on this list. Even and you could have made the argument, no matter where he'd been, probably should have been ahead of Arch Manning if he beat him out last year.
I don't know if he'd be top three on this list based on the way they ranked it. I mean, clearly they don't care about production.
And I like Tom Fornelli. I think he's pretty good.
I'm not a fan of the list.
Yeah,
I think he does a weird thing with his rankings too. Like, it's not based on – it's based on the last thing you did or something like that.
I think you're thinking of Josh Pate.
No. That's Tom Fornelli's quarterback rankings, he does something, like, weird. Like, he bases on the last thing you've done, not your body of work or something.
Possibly.
Which is why
that would make me feel a lot better about this
which
list.
Which is why Arch Manning – I just think the fact that DJ Lagway is all the way down there is suspect to me. I think DJ Lagway is probably a top five quarterback next year.
Would you be willing to throw $20 on whatever his Heisman odds are right now? Because I think I would. I don't know what Florida is this year, but I would tell you this much. They're bought into DJ Lagway, and he's bought into them.
Well, they had a great recruiting class, and partly because of Lagway's influence on and getting involved. But do I know what he is? What Florida is? No. I think DJ Lagway, if he continues to show everything he is, which is he can develop and he's got the right mindset, he could be a top five pick in 2 years. Because remember, he was a true freshman last year.
They're hungry.
So, I mean, DJ Lagway, that's hungry. My dude. Always love my friends at Baron Burton's with the W sauce, the Fire Shire, the breakfast sauce too. And they're great. They got some great recipes that I've used some of them. And my boy Chaz at New Realm Brewing, Al N Lager, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics.
Hoodoo!
That's right, Dallon.
That we knocked back a bunch of those hazy like foxes, and I can tell you right now, it is New Realm Brewery weather outside. If you want to hit that belt line and go sit on that rooftop up there, they got it going.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And, you know, speaking of beer, what's beer make you do?
Get rowdy?
Pee.
Oh, okay.
And Pac-Man Jones.
Could be that too.
Pac-Man Jones went on Deion Sanders what is it? He's it's his Tubi show.
Yeah, he's on Tubi. Every time I pull up the NASCAR channel on Tubi, he's right there. Said, I got time today.
It's called We Got Time Today.
Yeah.
And Pac-Man made some bold accusations, or claims, I should say, about the NFL drug testing system. And he says, I cheated the program. Like, I was really good.
Yeah.
This is his direct quote. People don't know how smart I am, but, like, I can say it now. I don't play no more, but, like, I never used my pee for a pee test. Not one time. Not one time.
That, yeah, okay. Well, let me just start with this before you get to the end of the story. Usually people that say nobody knows how smart I am, they're not usually that smart. I'm just going to throw that out there. That's just a broad-ranging thought process on that statement.
So Dion said that can't happen in today when they do it. And he goes, it can happen if you know what you're doing. Don't say it can't happen, Pop. Hey, Pop, don't say it can't happen. This is I love Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah, I love the fact that you're going verbatim, word for word, line for line. I love this.
And Dion's like, well, the reason it can't is they go in there with you. And he goes, no, they go in there and watch you pull it out.
Yeah.
You, Pac-Man goes, still can get them. And so Dion goes, all right, you know what? We're stopping right there. I'm not going to go any further.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are we dealing with?
But Pac-Man went on to say, they're giving guys opiates, pain pills, muscle relaxers. You're telling me that a guy that's smoking THC that is helping him perform more, or are you telling me that it's helping his body, all for the weed? So Pac-Man Jones claims that he has a way, and he did it. He beat the system. Now, remember, Ontario Smith got caught with the Wizinator?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to be a prosthetic he's talking about.
Which was that. But Pac-Man says he beat the system, and he knew how. There's other ways that I've heard people have beat these tests, and it sounds extremely painful.
Yeah. Ooh.
Because
yeah,
it like kind of.
Go down that route.
Don't tell me we're talking about the old oil change from Blue Mountain State.
Yeah. No, I can't. Yeah.
That's what they called it, the oil change.
Not an oil change.
Y'all ever watch Blue Mountain State?
Is that what they called it on there?
Yeah, that's what they called it. They called it oil change. There was a whole episode around this.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and they called it oil change.
I
can just tell you, look, here's the thing. All I can speak on is I don't really remember the combine pee test, but I will say the guy that's in charge of this up in Flowery Branch, who really does it's not just the Falcons he does. He does, like, for the NFL. I think he does the whole state of Georgia. Like, he's all over the place. He takes a pretty good peek at that thing. You know what I mean? Like, he gets a little crick in the neck. You know, like, he's going to make sure he checks. He's checking the underside.
A crick
of the thing.
In the neck. Is
crazy. Hey, you know I what just mean? Had, like,
hey,
I just had a.
Hey, he's cramping in the obliques.
I just had
me.
A thought. Like, I just had a thought. I don't think I can say it on the air.
He's getting a good peek at that.
Other
thing,
than
you know
looking,
I mean?
How else could you tell if it's real or not?
I don't know. I think he makes. I don't think
does he
you
get
can
a stick?
Just. I don't think you can just pull it out of your fly.
Does he get a stick and kind of?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe he's checking. I don't know. I don't want to go any further, but you know what I mean. Like, you know, he's getting a good look at it. I don't think he just lets you pull it out your fly. I don't think that's a possibility either. I think it's a straight up, you got to pull your pants down. But that's neither here nor there. Look, there's a couple weird moments in that room. It's all right. he's getting a good look. He's getting a good look. He's trying to do his job very thoroughly. All right, man, that's going to do it for us here on the Morning Shift. Reminder, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Coming up next, it's the Steakhouse. He's getting his arm ready for the T-shirt toss tonight.
It's the Abe House.
Abe House. Abe Gordon with you. Stick with us here. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.